Listen to the voices of our world.
There was a man who had a bullet in his face. He's walking like a zombie.
They would be killed, dragged by rope behind a truck.
And here comes his wife with her legs blown off.
It caused great fear among the people.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. 75,000 people dead. 1 million displaced. And the United States provided $6 billion in military aid. I'm not talking about Iraq. Today we're going to revisit El Salvador's civil war because 25 years have passed since four U.S. church women were murdered there. On December 2nd, 1980, Mary Knoll sisters Ida Ford and Maura Clark, Ursuline sister Dorothy Kazel, and lay missioner Jean Donovan were abducted, raped, and murdered. For many, it was the first realization that grave human rights violations were taking place in El Salvador. Between 1976 and 81, Mary Knoll sister Madeline Dorsey did pastoral and healthcare work in Santa Ana, El Salvador. She lived in Misiones, where 60 families would have to share one water spigot. Sister Dorsey described the situation getting worse.
The end of 79, someone who had protested or wrote on a wall, they would be killed, dragged by rope behind a truck, and they would cut the rope when they got on one of our little streets and leave that body there. You know, naturally, it caused great fear among the people.
Here's an excerpt from a cassette letter that Sister Dorothy Kazel sent to her fellow Ursuline sisters in Cleveland. Dorothy Kazel was also considered a threat. On a tape she sent to her fellow sisters in Cleveland, she describes what often happened on the way to work.
I had to go out to Chowitun because I wanted to talk to Carmen about First Communion classes and Semana Santa. As I'm driving in, there was a man who had a bullet in his face. He's walking like a zombie. And here comes his wife with her legs blown off. I mean, like the calf of the leg, a huge, big hole, you know, the meat hanging down, full of dirt. So I thought, my God, what can I do? I had to go find Pablo, get the pickup, take some sheets, and then we put the guy in front with him, and I was in the back with her. We've had police on the road every day. Usually they do not stop us because they know who we are now. But, you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
According to Sister Dorsey, Archbishop Romero asked church women to come and help with the refugee crisis. Mary Knoll sisters Ida Ford and Maura Clark came to Chalatenango to do just that, to provide relief to the refugees. Here's Sister Dorsey.
The International Red Cross was not allowed in because it was a civil war. It was military against their pueblo. We established the Green Cross to help with refugees. And one of the saddest things I had to do was accompany a mother who made a lovely altar cover. And they went in one night and took her son, and the father had already been taken. And we went to the end of the road outside the colony, and they had discarded his body. So at that time, when it got so vicious, just accompanying those who were losing members of their family became very, very typical.
The unofficial civil war reached new heights in 1980 when Archbishop Romero was assassinated after begging people to lay down their arms. Sister Madeline Dorsey remembers seeing members of the death squads.
I would walk up into the city of Santa Ana to do basic shopping or to go to the cathedral, and I would see people coming down the steps in campesino dress, but with their guns. And they would get into unmarked cars. I would see in the night those same unmarked cars coming into our colony, and these members of the death squad, they'd go into these homes and take whomever they wanted, whether it was a high school student or whether it was the father of the family who was a laborer, whatever they would take out. And then they would kill and discard those bodies in a different place.
Gail Fares is a former Mary Knoll nun who worked closely with Maura Clark in Nicaragua. Later, she became the founder of Witness for Peace, a program that has brought thousands to Central and South America.
When Maura went to El Salvador, they lived in Chalatenango. which was where the most of the war was going on. And they were taking care of the people who were being made refugees by the war and would go out in the jeep to pick up refugees, pick up children who were being left orphaned, bring them back to the center. That's all they were doing, really. And in that day and age, Salvadoran soldiers were being trained by U.S. Army School of the Americas, and the focus was on the civilian population, and anybody that was connected to that civilian population in the way that Maura and Ida were considered a threat.
Robert White was ambassador to El Salvador in 1980 and 81.
The School of the Americas played a role not only of training officers that later turned out to be gross violators of human rights, but they also participated in things like providing communications for the Southern Cone terrorists from one country to another.
Ambassador White describes the politics at the time.
Jimmy Carter was president. There was a big emphasis on human rights, yet there was also a real concern that El Salvador would be a socialist / communist.
On December 2nd, 1980, Mary Knoll sisters Ida Ford and Maura Clark, Ursuline's sister Dorothy Kazel, and lay missioner Jean Donovan were abducted, raped, and murdered. When the bodies were found 2 days later, Ambassador White witnessed the exhumation.
I received a call from Father Paul Schindler saying that the women were missing. And then another call from him a little later saying they'd found this burnt-out van. And so I knew the worst had happened. I mean, there was no little doubt in my mind. But I immediately talked to the Minister of Defense, who asked me if the missing nuns were wearing habits. The Salvadoran military distinguished between good priests and bad priests, good nuns and bad nuns, because the good priests and the good nuns wore the traditional garb, and the others were considered allies of change. So I saw immediately that he was setting up defenses. Then the only group that witnessed the military kidnapping the church women were a group of Canadian church people. And they were holed up in a hotel, and they said they were in fear of their lives because they were the only witnesses. So I said that I would escort them to the airport, which I did.
During wartime, few citizens know what goes behind Washington's closed doors. Former U.S. Ambassador Robert White was fired.
What Secretary of State Haig was asking me to do was to lie about an investigation in order that he could say that the ambassador says there's a serious investigation going on and therefore the renewal of military aid is justified.
The Cold War was in full swing. Anyone suspected of sympathizing with the opposition was called a communist and targeted by death squads or the military. Here's Francisco Flores.
Yo conocí el trabajo de hermana Dorothy. Dios mío, pero si esa mujer nunca hizo nada comunista, esa mujer nunca estaba en contra del gobierno. Su crimen fue el de ayudar.
I knew the work of the Marinol sisters, of Dorothy, of Jean, Ursuline's sister. And I especially knew the work of Dorothy, and dear God, she never did anything wrong. Whenever a worker would disappear, the families would come to the sisters, and they knew that they would help them because they were from the United States.
Yo creo que ahí comenzó todo. La Guardia Nacional necesitaba quitar a las monjas de en medio.
Because of them, the National Guard couldn't continue to torture people because they were helping people, so they needed to take them out of the middle so they could continue what they were doing.
La hermana Dorotea se le ocurrió, pues,
Sister Dorothy thought we should give some workshops on health.
Y a los días, pues, ya me tenían en el pueblo.
During the day, they had me in the town giving shots to kids who were sick and giving prescriptions for aspirin.
Prácticamente todo mundo se dio cuenta cuando
Practically the whole world noticed when they arrested me.
Y al llegar a la comandancia de la guardia, me desnudaron, me colgaron.
They arrested me, they took me to the police station, they stripped me down, they hung me by my arms. They would whip me with a whip, and when I would faint from the pain, they would throw water on me again to wake me up.
Me pusieron choques eléctricos la primera noche.
They would put electric shocks on me on the first night, and they would ask me where the guerrilla hospital was that I worked at. They wanted to know which nuns I had contact with in the guerrillas.
En la madrugada, me violaron.
At dawn, they raped me.
Al día siguiente, me golpeaban porque me decían de que la habían llegado las monjas a preguntar por mí y que me soltaran.
The next day, they beat me because they said the nuns came and asked for me, and they said that I was just simply a helper and that they were going to contact the United States.
Al tercer día, las torturas siguieron lo mismo.
On the third day, the torture continued. They continued to administer electric shocks. They continued to whip me. They wouldn't let me sleep. When I tried to sleep, they would put water on me. And then they took a bucket of water and hung it from my genitals.
Creí que me iba a morir y gritaba y
I thought I was going to die and I would scream. And about 7 o'clock at night, they let me go.
Esa misma noche me ayudaron.
That same night, some friends helped me get to the border and leave the state.
Cuando llegué a México y escuché las noticias, el día 3 de diciembre fue algo terrible. Me di cuenta que
when I got to Mexico and I saw the news on December 3rd that they had killed and raped Sister Dorothy and Jean, it was a very hard time for me. It was very difficult.
Gail Fares, founder of Witness for Peace, was working on Capitol Hill.
And they'd gotten threats at the convent in Chalatenango, but they just went on doing their work. Then they went to a meeting of the Marino Sisters in Managua. When they came back, that was when Jean Donovan and Dorothy Kessel, Ursuline sister, came to get them to drive them from the airport into San Salvador, and they were taken off before they got into San Salvador in a van of some kind.
Everybody remembers where they were when we heard the news.
Mary Knoll's sister Jean Fallon was in Japan.
Somebody called to say that it had come over the United States Air Force radio that there were four sisters missing. And as soon as I heard that, I said, well, they're dead. Nobody goes missing in El Salvador without ending up finding the bodies later. So I immediately called Mary Knoll to find out who the four Mary Knoll sisters were. I could remember Ita Ford, but I could not remember who else was in El Salvador. I was in such a state of denial. So when they told me it was Maura Clark, she should have been the first person that I remembered, because I had her letters and everything telling this what was going on and how they would pick up bodies. And oh, anyway, we, of course, had a prayer service in Tokyo. And on my way there, I got four roses, red roses, and I was wearing black. And this man, when somebody dies, they put their hands together and bow. He did that to me. I was so astounded. That was the first realization that these sisters, people were claiming them all over the world. And so all I can do is step back and say to Maura and Ita, you know, what you desired the most is happening. This renewal of understanding of what's going on in the world and what to do in the face of a government that condones torture and taking the livelihood away of people in every class except the rich.
What do you remember about that time? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.